Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank God for every living chance to do His will. The Word of God is life. The love of God is the life of God. The backbone of all things is your faith, the foundation of all reality. We do everything by faith. God made everything by His faith. Everything you see came from His faith. And I love Him. The Lord is good. As we go forward doing good, spiritual wealth mounts up on our lives. And it enables us to take the next step. The step you take today and the blessing you are to others today will put money in your account, in your spiritual account. And you can use it in your next step. And we explained that a few broadcasts ago, so you'll have to go back when we talked about Lester Summerall. We gave that example. But God is doing great works, and everything He do is foundational. So whatever He, don't worry about finances. You're going to attain them. And God's going to bless you with whatever you need. The anointing itself will cause you to do whatever, prosper in whatever area you need to do the will of God. With that, we must be good stewards with the things that God blesses us with. You know, sometimes people put a lot of effort into buying things like cars and houses. And when you do, you just keep it up. Don't let it go bad. That way you won't have to buy another one at a time you really need to do something else. Things that God bless you with, it's up to us to be wise stewards. And the wiser steward that you are, the better God can bless you. My mother used to say, if you can't get rich buying the same things over and over. You buy something and take care of it. Be a good steward of it. You know, my pastor traded in a truck. I used to work on it. And they gave him top dollar because it was in excellent shape. He kept his oil changed. And people always ask God for new cars and this and that. But they don't take care of them. Now, the Lord took me this way for a reason. Because He's going to bless us a lot with whatever we need. But He do expects us to be good stewards. And if you're a good steward, then and the people who you're ministering to, they'll see you being a good steward, and then they'll be encouraged to be good stewards, because we always bear fruit after our kind. But those who are wasteful, those who are greedy, they inspire people to be that way, because that's the example that they portray. Now, in the day that Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, they never heard teaching like this, because most people they didn't know God like He did. And the reason they didn't know God like He did is because they didn't seek God like He did. And they didn't spend time with the Holy Spirit like He did. So that's why they didn't know the things that He did. And I bet you thought that He did it because He was the Son of God. No. Everything He did as you and I, as a man. He learned the ways of God as a man. He learned the counsel of God as a man. The seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit helped Him to do what He did. Just like with you. The Lord is going to help you do what needs to be done in your day. Sometimes people don't try to do the greater works because they look at Jesus as being the Son of God more than the Son of Man. As the Son of God, He was sinless. That's the advantage He had. He was sinless. And He was qualified to die for all of us. And he loved us. He willingly laid his life down. But he did these things as a man. And he taught as a man guided by the Holy Spirit. And the word became flesh, and he learned the word. We can learn the word as well. He brought himself down to our level, and he read the word and understood it, and then he preached it, guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord instructed me to continue with the Sermon on the Mount. We made it to verse 47. Well, let's look at verse 45, verse 44. He said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you." Wait, I got ahead of myself a little. All right. Let me backtrack. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I had it on the other page. I'm sorry. Okay. This is 5 verse 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." The salt that has no flavor is used for Roundup to keep weeds from growing in the path. And that's all it's good for, to be trodden under the foot of men. By being the salt of the earth, we were made the salt of the earth when we believed on Jesus Christ. It's up to us to choose to do his will, to do the things he say do, to be receptive to all the things of the Holy Spirit. If we can do that, we can do all things. We can be valuable. We can be salt that has flavor. And salt is also a preservative. We'll be good. We'll be good for something. And he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You are. So our savor is our diligence to do God's will. Are we committed to doing what God say do? That makes the difference. And then he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, being a light in dark places, it takes courage. It takes you're different. You operate under different laws. You take different responsibilities. You live in the high ground. You're doing the right thing when the wrong thing is popular. You have integrity. You have honor. You have the everyday things that you do, the way you treat and speak to people, it's always out of a heart of love. So we are the light of the earth. And sometimes people want to step out and stop dim. They want to dim their light so that they don't make any waves, so that they don't make anybody mad. But that's not the way it works. Jesus made you the light. Agree with the fact that he made you the light and walk in it. Be the light. Don't seek, instead of seek to dim in the light, seek to shine brighter. Because he said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house." One time he said they don't put it under a bed. They put it where people can use it. We want people to see. The enemy bullies people into dimming their light. That's why he had to make the mention of these things. The enemy try to get people to do otherwise. They're going to think this of you. See, fear looks to man. But your perfect love casts out all forms of fear. Just be the light. Enjoy it. Some people are going to hate you for it. But they might end up getting saved. But light will silence darkness. Remember, next time you're discouraged from being the light that God made you to be, remember Sodom and Gomorrah. It would have only taken 10 righteous men in that city to live the example of life, and God would not have had to destroy that city. See, all things of Satan, it dies. There's no satisfaction in sin. It gets boring. So when people see other people doing the right thing, they learn to value things. Now, Jesus went on to say that some of those cities would have repented in sackcloth and ashes if they heard the word that they were hearing him speak. People need the light. People die and go to hell because there is no light. People die and go to hell because Christians hide the light. Just like people get saved when they see the light. Now, this was by the Holy Spirit. This is the knowledge of God. He's telling them what to do, so this is the wisdom of God. Verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." After seeing you, the light of God's word, they will glorify God. And then he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now that's an even greater step. Now he's being the light because he's fulfilling the law. He's not taking it away like the Pharisees thought. He's fulfilling it. And that's what we're supposed to do. Fulfill the law. Do the will of God on purpose. Do the will of God because it's right. Do the will of God because you can. Do the will of God to win souls. And there's rewards in it. Verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." He's going to fulfill all of it. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless our righteousness exceed that, we won't even enter the place of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees, they taught people wrong. They were tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They were just, they missed the point. They had the word of God and still missed the point that it made. And they were the distraction. They became a distraction, a gate blocker, and a dumb dog at the same time. They didn't cry out against sin. They didn't warn people what not to do. A dumb dog won't bark when there's a thief around. He won't warn the master that there's somebody out there. He'll hide and be quiet. We are called to be courageous, to be bold, to represent God. And we need to represent God in every way we can. And be diligent about it on purpose. That's what we want to do. To be the light of the world. He said, "But I say unto you that whosoever..." 21. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. You know, he's dealing with matters of the heart. The Lord is foundational. If you can deal with the matters of your heart, you won't have a problem out in the world. The physical realm is easy. It follows the spiritual realm. It always does and it always will. If you can conduct yourself in the heart, if you have true love for people in the heart, undying love in the heart, you'll know what not to do and what to do. But if you have strife in your heart, strife causes you to hate the people that God made. People who have a chance to live for him. Your strife will try to take that away from them. Our strife, it does no good. Every evil work follows it. You want the blessings of God to come on everybody except the people you're in strife with. And they are people that need God just like you do, just like I do. So if I'm in strife with a person, I want bad things to happen to them and not the kindness of God. And that's a problem because if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. And we need him to forgive us. We did many things that could have caused other people strife. But we have to be willing to forgive people that we may live. These things have to be in place in order to go forward in our lives. If we don't deal with them properly, they can cripple us. And the word of God will be void to us. It won't work. Your faith won't work until you forgive, because your faith works by love. This is why these foundational things are so necessary. Everything Jesus taught is necessary. It's necessary if you're a grown Christian. If you've been saved for years, these are the foundational things. He said, verse 22 again, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's why I hate racism. There are many people, they are praying for everybody except for people of the race that they don't like. And then you hear people say, well, they always do this. So all of them are this way. That's not true. You got some bad people. You got some people that will do wrong in every race. And possibly from every tribe. But God loves every one of them. And we need him. Everybody needs Jesus. We need him. They need him. And we have to overlook the petty differences and love people just like God loves us. And I ask the Lord to teach me how to do that. Because if you don't do something, if you leave a problem unsolved and build your life, you're building your life on a weak foundation. And the Holy Spirit is foundational. Look at his counsel. This is the Holy Spirit talking. This is what the Holy Spirit counseled Jesus to speak. It even said, hating some, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, Now, I don't know what that means, but they shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's a day. When I read that years ago, I said, well, I'm going to make sure I don't go around calling people a fool, especially from the heart. Even if they, I know people do foolish things, but that's something I ain't, you know, I don't want to go to hell. And if Jesus put it that bluntly, that means you can. He wasn't lying. He said, so the point is to keep strife away from you, out of your heart. And the people that do me wrong and aggravate me the most, I pray for them. I pray for them sincerely. I let Satan see me do it. I say, I love this guy. And I love this person. I pray for them. And I earnestly ask the Lord to show them what to do or how to be. And I ask them to show me what I can do to help them if I can. Because it's important that we love everybody. Verse 23, he said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you. Ought means something. You remember that your brother has something against you. Leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. How many people have you seen do that? I know people do it, but this is very important. This is what Jesus taught. Sometimes people continue to pay tithes and offerings and never make things right, and they forget about it. Now you got a bigger problem. Somebody's upset with you, and you know it, and you didn't deal with it. It didn't say if you were upset with them. If they're upset with you, go get it right if you can. You can't make people love you, but you can try to make things right. Go get it right. So that motivated me not to bother folks and get on their bad side in the first place. You know, at work I like to joke and have fun, but I don't want to rub somebody the wrong way. If they aggravated, I back off. I don't bother folks. But just like we carry on. Because we love each other, we tease each other. We play. Now that's fun, but I'm not going to take it too far. I love people. I want people to know God and enjoy life. And if I can help them, I will. To be a friend to people, to be kind towards people, to love people where they're at, it's worth it. And then verse 25, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now Jesus go to the worst case scenario to show you an example. And all these things are important in relationships. Sometimes you just have to take the high road. Now that doesn't mean you have to receive a loss every deal you make, but it does mean it's worth it to stay out of strife and not provoke anger. You don't have to cave in to every deal. And that's something that I kind of took the wrong way earlier in life. And it caused me a lot of problems. I was always willing to take a loss to stay out of strife with people. But it's all right to say what's. You have to treat yourself right just like you want to treat them right. You don't want to do yourself wrong and make a bad deal to please God. God doesn't want, he didn't ask you to do that. That's not what Jesus is saying. It was my fault for taking it wrong, but He's saying, agree with your adversary quickly while you're with him, while you're in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. If you did something wrong, go get it right. That's all he's saying. Go make things right. And do it in a reasonable way. You don't have to go overboard like I used to do. Sometimes religion, in religious views, you read into things that's not even there. All right. The counsel of the Holy Spirit makes us stronger. He said in verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. If you owe, he's saying, if you owe people, go get it right, pay them, and stay in that grace, and get your debt paid. That's all he's saying. But don't get mad and buck the system and and don't pay your bills. I've seen people, they have car notes and they get mad at the car and won't pay the car note. And that's what he's talking about. Strike. If you bought it as is, pay the bill and get it paid and get it fixed. Do what you're supposed to do. Do your part. But don't get in strife about it. That's what he's saying. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of your members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Do you realize Jesus meant this? Then he went on to say, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. Now remember, most people need their right hand. And if thy right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Again, he's speaking from the heart. These are matters of the heart. Sometimes people have in the back of their mind, I'm going to, judging from what he said, if you don't deal with matters of the heart, they grow into bigger problems. If you look on a woman to lust after her, the problem is in the heart. Now, in James, it says, it shows us something about this. And it's important. Here it is, James chapter 4. It says, verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now watch this part. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. See, sin is on the outside of a Christian, not the inside. So don't sin, is what he's saying. And walk the walk of faith. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, sin is attacking from the outside. But purify your heart. That's where you win. keep the word of God in your heart and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It won't even be a problem to you. Verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He will help you go forward and not backwards. But purify your heart. If you're pure in your heart, you're not going to want to do the wrong things. You're not going to want to continue with things that are no good. But you have to win in the heart. And that's why he said do it that way. He said, I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And that's the problem. If you can win there, you can win everywhere. I've talked about this in other broadcasts. But it's certain, it's true. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. This is the counsel of Jesus Christ towards his people. This was wisdom. This is knowledge. And it's counsel. And it causes us to be mighty people as we hear it. If you can operate without the lust of the flesh, you can solve a lot of problems that cause divorce in the first place. But when divorce is an out, I can do what I want. I can divorce her and marry a younger woman. That's not the way it works. That's just not God.